You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Arizona homeowners, it is 8 o'clock hour. That is our outdoor living hour. We were joined this third Saturday of the month with Jay Harper. If you'd like to join the broadcast or have questions about your landscape, garden, yard, trees, whatever the case may be, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Julia Bradshaw is standing there waiting to take your call. Or call screener this Saturday morning from the Walter Cronkite School of Broadcasting. Gary D is behind the glass. And Jay, what a nice morning.
You know, this, I was telling somebody the other day, this might be the nicest fall we've had in, since I can remember, maybe.
I needed a long sleeve trick or treating. I couldn't tell you the last time I needed a long sleeve on Halloween.
been a while. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a long time. And just, you know, crisp mornings, warm, you know, 70 degree, 75 degree days. Pretty hard to complain.
Pretty hard to complain in perfect growing weather.
For just about anything you want to do, plant otherwise, you know, still in the middle of winter vegetable gardening, you can still plant your leafy greens, your root crops, you know, without any issues at all. It's a great time to plant landscape trees and shrubs. We want to probably start being careful with the more frost-sensitive things this time of year, hibiscus and those types, the real tropical-y things, getting them in this late, you know, and then if we catch some cold weather and they're not established, they might not be too happy about that. But other than that, you know, trees, shrubs, vines in the landscape, this is the absolute best time to plant those. And, of course, all the wonderful cool season, colorful bedding, annuals, perennials, geraniums, pansies, petunias, snapdragons. The list is, you know, almost endless as to what you can plant in your pots, your containers, your flower beds, especially as we start preparing for maybe those holiday and winter seasonal guests that might be showing up. You want to make a little impact, you know, a little curb appeal, just a little, set your house off just a little bit over your neighbors. You know, you can really do a lot with just a, you know, a touch of color. Makes a huge difference.
And you had gone through a couple of those different flower varieties. What's your cold weather flowers?
Well, if we start, you know, alyssum and lobelia and petunias and pansies and snapdragons and geraniums and bacopa and it just goes on and on and on. Really, people that think about living in the Midwest, it'd be everything you plant in the spring in the Midwest, we plant in the fall and winter here. But so it's just a very, very long list. They're all going to color all nicely until it gets hot next spring or summer, and you just can make a huge difference with the look of your house, your property, your entranceway, even if it's just one single container or big pot of color as people walk up to the front door. It makes a big difference.
You know, that's something that I had gotten in the habit of every fall and every spring, just stopping at the nursery on the way home, getting just a random collection for Mama's front entryway. Amanda's got a nice little setup there with an old bench that all these pots are around. And
there you go.
I don't know what happened. I missed last spring. And I tell you what, going through that whole summer without coming home to our little front entryway, it's worth the $120 twice a year to have a nice...
Isn't it amazing what it does to your psyche, to your... you know, it's just something you walk up and kind of all the day goes away. And, you know, my dad used to say, you know, if I think I'm having a bad day, I go out and look at that pansy and look at that smiley face of that pansy out there, and just kind of makes everything disappear. That and you know, something to take into account we didn't even talk about are the aromas, you know, the smell of sweet alyssum, the fragrance of pansies, the stalk, the for odor of that, you know, you can do a lot with that right by your front door too, and that's kind of neat to walk up. I've got a, you know, big planting of a Arabian jasmine that in the spring, summer, and early fall, just the whole little courtyard as you walk into it is just, you just get engulfed by that really sweet fragrance. So color and fragrance as you come into your house is can be a pretty neat deal, like you mentioned. It just changes your whole attitude. And sometimes as we come home from work, our attitude needs changed a little bit before we walk in the door.
And it might not be work. It might be the commute home.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
We read somewhere where rosemary, the scent of rosemary, helps deter flies. So on each side of our front entry door, because we have a lot of horses on the property, chickens, animals outside, you know, there's flies. And that seems to help a little bit. You still have to close the door, and our kids are learning that you know, a door left wide open for 20 minutes while we're outside riding, there's no amount of rosemary. But no. I tell you what, you water those, and you're sitting on the porch, and that aroma lingers for a good 20 minutes.
Absolutely, yeah. Or just go and pinch a little bit of it and rub it around, you know, and it's kind of a neat deal. And it's also a natural deterrent of mosquitoes as well. And I've heard lots of complaints about mosquitoes, especially after all that rain we got in October. I think they were already around pretty good, but then when you get a heavy dose of rain and it sticks around and things stay wet as it cooled off, mosquitoes seem to be in abundance this fall as well. So rosemary, basil, lavender, those are all good plants to have, you know, in your patio or sitting areas as well.
And you were talking mosquitoes, and we started the segment talking about just how nice of a fall it is, and it's a little bit cooler. Maybe we'll finally get a good freeze. It's been a number of years. We're due. Amarillo has snow already. Texas Panhandle, you know, maybe that's a sign that we're going to get a frost down this far into.
We've had a pretty couple of snows earlier in the Flagstaff area as well, so it's it's supposed to be an El Nino winter, which doesn't necessarily mean really cold, but it means it's going to be pretty wet. So, you know, wetter is going to be cooler than it was when last year when it seemed like it was just spring year-round. But, but yeah, we could use probably a freeze or two to set
get
the,
a little bit of
insect,
the insect
population
control,
controlled a little bit.
Equalize that population. 1-888-767-4348. Sorry about that. A little choked on my coffee there. If you'd like to join the conversation, Julia does have a couple calls. She's working her way through. Email to 411-923 if you need to snap a picture and send a shot of an insect, or maybe you see something out in the landscape and you'd like to figure out what it is, you know, as you're traveling around. Sweet potato vines. That took me a while to figure out what that one was. Man, those. That really got popular quick.
They have,
and
I
think ours is 2 years old now.
Well, and that's the other thing. You know, a good cold snap will probably force people to get rid of some sweet potato vine because it might freeze back. It's you know, intended to freeze back, but it didn't last year for sure. But it's kind of revolutionized the planting of summer containers and summer flower beds and hanging baskets. Things that we couldn't keep looking very good without really being diligent about watering. The sweet potato vine has at least given us some spot of color for the hot months. And if it stays mild through the winter, it'll stay looking good year-round. Typically, in a typical winter, it'll get cold enough to zing it back, and you'll have to either cut it back or replace it.
And if we do get that cold snap, some of the other things we need to watch for, citrus. Our frost-sensitive items.
Citrus fruits particularly, not so much the plant, but the fruit, if we get a hard freeze, a frost isn't going to hurt them. Bougainvillea, lantana, those are the things probably that you see the most of in our landscapes everywhere. They can be tender. Again, typically won't kill them, but actually a lot of times it does a lot of good. It forces people to go out and do a heavy spring pruning. As opposed to, as I pulled in the parking lot up here, the little shear job that has just been done again on all the plantings, you know, in the landscape in this building. You know, if people would just wait till, mid to late February or early March and be very severe with their pruning, then you really don't have to prune again the rest of the year. The plant will flush out. It will look good. It'll bloom. Imagine that, you know, Texas sage with blooms on them rather than these little balls with, you know, just a little bit of color at the ends of the branches.
And that color comes out just about the time that the maintenance crew that comes back around again. And chops it all off.
There's some unwritten code that says those plants can only be a certain size and shape. The freeze sometimes will help actually dictate and make us do that heavy spring rejuvenative pruning as opposed to just shearing all the time. But lantanas, bougainvilleas, hibiscus, natal plum, there's a number of things. Of course, the big one, if people remember, when it gets severely cold and we have a hard freeze, are probably the ficus trees because they're a tree. They're not, you know, a small shrub you can deal with, you can prune back, you can replace if you have to. But if you lose a 25 or 30 foot tree or lose most of it, you know, that can be pretty devastating to the landscape.
When we get back, we'll talk about winter lawns a little bit. We've got that transition period, and we're also going into our holiday plants. We're talking Christmas cactuses, poinsettias, little Christmas tree care and selection here at Rosie on the House with you every Saturday morning, 1-888-767-4348, if you'd like to join the conversation.